In today's Mishnah, we learn the third and fourth Mishnah from the second Perek of Masechta Kelim. And the Mishnah begins, HaTorim Shebekli Cheres. So we continue learning about earthenware utensils. And this Mishnah lists certain vessels that, despite the fact they can function as Kelim, you might think they are susceptible to Tumah. Since they don't have a Toch, they're not designed or they're not intended to contain anything in it, therefore they're not susceptible to Tumah. As we mentioned yesterday's Mishnah, a klicheres, in order to be susceptible to tumah, it has to have a tochen inside. So Mishnah says, first is a tavla, which is like a tray or a flat board. She'en lalizbez, importantly, does not have a rim around it or frame around it. Next is the machta prutza. This refers to a shovel that's open at end, so like a familiar to the spades you're probably picturing in your head. So there's no like frame around the edge of it. Next is va'abuv shel klaim. This is a clay cheres, the earthenware utensil that has multiple holes in it, on which they are roasted nuts. Next is v'silonot. These are pipes. Af al pi kfufim. So you can imagine a pipe that is bent into a U-shape. So while technically it could contain liquid in it, Mishnah says, no, this is not a kli cheres that is considered as having a toch. It says, af al pi mekablin. And here the Tiferet Yisrael explains that despite the fact you might have at the base of that U-pipe an extra little, what looks like a container at the base, so as the water's going through it and these stones that are going through that pipe will settle and be collected in that location, that would still be not susceptible to tumah. Next is v'chav kav. This is a kava she'asal l'salpat. So this is, you can imagine, like a deep plate that has been turned upside down and is resting on a basket of bread. Now, despite the fact, yes, if you turn it the other way around, then it could contain things. Nonetheless, since it's not designed as such, it's designed simply as a kava, that's its intended use. Therefore, it's not susceptible to tumah. Next is a tvi. Now, tefi refers to like a small, narrow pitcher. It says, shitkinu la'anavim, that has been designed to cover grapes. Now, I'll pause here and just recommend, there's an excellent book here, a picture book called Marot Chaim that I'm using as well as I give over this shurim. And in this book, it's excellent. It has pictures according to the different perushim. The way he describes it here, if you can imagine a very deep bowl of grapes, and what someone has done is taken over like a round bottle that's pointed at the top and turned it on its head and is now acting as if like a plug or a cover for those grapes. That is what this tfi is designed for. So if you get hands in the book, it's worthwhile. Let's continue. V'chavit shashayitim. This is a barrel or a jar that's been used as for individuals learning to swim. Shayatin is it refers to swimmers here, so it's almost like a kickboard, but it's made of a earthenware. It's like an earthenware barrel that would float. Next is a chavit tefuna, b'shulei hamachatz. So here, what this is if you can imagine, they get a small jar and they glue it to the side of a bigger container, and the point of that is to give that jar like a handle. In order, and then since that small jar that's attached to the side is not designed to contain anything, it's just really it's being stuck on there as a handle. Therefore, that would not be susceptible to tumah on its own. V'hamitava kiseva safsava shulchan. That is a bed, a chair, a bench, or a table. Now these things don't have a toch. They don't contain anything. You can place things on them. And therefore, for klei cheres, we say that is not susceptible to tumah. Next is a svina. Now you might think that a sfina can contain things. People can go inside these little rafts or boats. Nonetheless, it says, because the pasuk says derech onia belev yam, there's an association, the pasuk, between boats and the ocean. Just as the ocean is tahor, so too is an onia, a small boat. Next, v'hamanorah shel cheres. This refers to a lamp. Hare, all these things, hare elu tahorim. Now, when it comes to the menorah, it's more like a candelabra that you'd rest on the branches, small lamps. So nothing, the candelabra itself doesn't actually contain any, doesn't hold anything, doesn't contain, doesn't have a toch. It's just rested on the branches of these small lamps. Okay, Mishnah says, Zeaklal, this is the general rule when it comes to klei cheres, kosha ein lo toch, but klei cheres ein lo acharayim. Meaning any kli, when it comes to cheres, doesn't have an inside, has no tuma outside. What does this mean? This means is the Mefarshim made a gzeira when it comes to kelim that mashkim, that are tmeim, that they if normally liquids minatora wouldn't be able to make kelim tame unless they originated from nazav. However, there was a gzeira that it could make kelim tame. However, if that liquid touched a kli on the back, it would only make the backside tame. So here's an additional law, not necessarily associated with the susceptibility to tumor of kli cheres, that also is dependent on the concept of having a toch. Let's learn in the next mishnah. Mishnah Dalet. Panas refers to a lantern. She yesh ba beit kibul shemen tameh. If the lantern itself can contain oil on its, then it is has a beit kibul. It can hold, it can contain something, and therefore it is mekabel tumah. However, if it cannot, meaning if it's just a lantern, that is, you can, and you would rest a lamp inside it, meaning it's open, it's just got a wall in the front of it to stop wind blowing out the candle, we say then that in that situation would not be susceptible to tumah, because it's not really designed for Kabbalah, it's just like a flat plate at the bottom, and the things on the sides, the walls on the sides, are simply to stop the wind. Next, Mugufata Yotrim, this is a potter's slab. It's a flat surface, Shehu Poterbo, in the situation where in the initial stage where he's forming his clay work, that would be tahor, because it doesn't have a toch. There's no rim, no nothing. It's just a slab. Veshu gomerbo, however, once he places in an additional kli that does have a rim around it, because he's concerned in the situation that these kelim will fall off, that's a different type of tray, so we say that's tameh. Next, mashpech shel balabait balabatim torim. A funnel that you find in one's house, normally has no beit kibul, fluid just goes straight through it, therefore, it is tahor. The shorochlim, however, if we're talking about rochlim, merchants, or probably more accurately, peddlers, people who go door to door, their one would be tameh. Why? Mipnei shehu shel midah, because that was used as a measuring implement. They would simply plug it with their finger at the base of this, at the base of the kli, and that would then contain. It would be used specifically in that fashion to measure out the product the individual was selling. However, that's divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira. In other words, that's opinion Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira. However, Rabbi Kiva says no. Mipnei shehu mateh al tzidah umariach lelokeach. He says, even if it wasn't a mashpech shel midah, even if it wasn't a measuring container, they would still use it in a way, the rochlim would use it in a way that it could still contain the product that he was trying to sell. In other words, he would simply turn it on its side, and then he would put the product inside it and offer it to the potential customer to smell out of, so the product wouldn't fall out, it was simply resting inside this funnel. That is why, according to Rabbi Kiva, it would still be susceptible to tumah. And those are the Mishnah today.